Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone this morning, Connie Gregg. She's the Director of Adoption Services at Lutheran Social Services of the South. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning. And tell us about Lutheran Social Services of the South.
The agency has been in existence under a couple of different names since probably the 1860s. The program I'm involved in primarily is international adoption, but the agency has a multiplicity of services. Services to the elderly, residential treatment facilities, foster care services for kids in state conservatorship, voluntary infant placement, international adoption, foster to adopt out of the state. So quite a variety of programs.
And so being involved in international adoptions, what drew you to this work in international adoptions? What do you love about it?
Every day there's a new challenge. The only predictable thing about international adoption is its unpredictability. Foreign governments change, the rules change. It's just, every day is a new challenge.
And how do you take on those challenges? How do you approach them? I'm sure with policies changing, as you said, foreign governments changing all the time. How do you address those challenges? How do you face them?
You just have to learn to be flexible and know that your learning curve never ends.
And most recently, we've learned through the district newsletter about adoptions in Bulgaria. Tell us about the relationship with Bulgaria and why adoptions are what you're doing for adoptions there.
We were approached in 2010 to consider opening a program in Bulgaria. Lutheran has had several international adoption programs. Briefly in Costa Rica, we had a very large, very successful program in Russia for 12 years. And so we have a track record of having had successful programs. The individuals who approached us had been working as adoption facilitators a number of years ago, before Bulgaria closed its international program. Bulgaria closed for a number of years as they were trying to regulate inter-country adoptions more effectively and to become a party to the Hague Convention, which is the inter-country basically treaty, and it's a convention on the protection of children, making inter-country adoption more transparent, more ethical, more streamlined. So once Bulgaria opened up again, we were contacted about whether or not this is something we wanted to consider. So after much research and a trip to Bulgaria, we did in fact engage with Bulgaria. We work with a non-governmental organization, an association that's accredited in Bulgaria, and we are, by the U.S. Department of State, a Hague-accredited agency, so that we can provide those services.
What are the needs? How many children are there in orphanages in Bulgaria?
I don't have an accurate count. There's a huge variation in the numbers that are quoted, anywhere between 10 and 20,000. Now, not all of those children are ever going to be eligible for adoption, whether locally in Bulgaria or inter-country, because they still have extended family members or parents who come and see them, maintain contact. Parental rights have not been terminated. Mm. But the children who are available for adoption are in the orphanages primarily because I would say the bottom line is poverty. Their parents may have 8, 9, 10 children, can't provide for them. The parents may have other issues themselves so that the court terminates parental rights. And an orphanage is no place to grow up. I mean, even with devoted caretakers, it's just not the same as a family. So there's a need. And the largest percentage of children in orphanages in Bulgaria are of Roma heritage, Gypsy heritage, which still carries some negative stigma in Bulgaria, so that Bulgarian families who are going to adopt are not likely to consider these children. So that's really pretty much the biggest need.
What is the Healthy Child program?
When Bulgaria first opened up again after they had become a party to the Hague Convention, there was a huge backlog of older, kids with medical needs, special needs, and that's pretty much all the Ministry of Justice, who's the central authority there related to adoption. That's pretty much the only kids that they referred for intercountry adoption. Since that whole system has gone pretty smoothly, they are now accepting families' dossiers to be able to register and go onto a waiting list for healthy children, children under the age of 5, siblings under the age of 7. And the waiting time for those kids is probably anywhere between 2 and 3.5 years. But for a number of years, the ministry did not accept applications for healthy kids, and they are doing that now.
So to go through the whole process of an international adoption, to complete an adoption in the just a domestic adoption here in the United States, how long is that process typically?
Well, a domestic adoption, it depends on the kind of child that you're looking for. If you're wanting to adopt a newborn infant, the waiting time, you know, I've read 2 to 6 years. If you're adopting a child through the state system, it's probably less time than that, maybe up to 2 years. For a Bulgarian adoption, if you are selecting a waiting child or a child with special needs, it can go as quickly as 12 to 14 months. If you are wanting to adopt a healthy child or a sibling group under, you know, fairly young sibling group with no identified medical issues, the wait time is probably 2 to 3.5 years, somewhere in there.
And so what, for our listeners who might be considering adoption, what might they need to consider? What do they need to think about? What's involved in this adoption process?
Well, I think the biggest thing that you need to consider is, are you willing to adapt your parenting style, your expectations? These children are all going to be delayed because they're coming out of an orphanage setting. A lot of times the genetic pool they come from is not ideal. And then you add on the trauma of losing everything you know when you move, even if it's to a more positive environment, like leaving an orphanage, you're nonetheless leaving behind everything you know, your country, your language, all the familiar people. So there's going to be a lot of trauma, grief, loss involved, and families have to be able to manage that, adapt to that, and adapt their parenting expectations. So I think flexibility is probably the number one asset a family can have.
In terms of preparing for the costs of adoption, when it comes to an international adoption with Bulgaria, can you give us any idea what we might anticipate?
Sure. For families living outside the state of Texas, for the adoption of a healthy child, the basic fee to our agency is $10,000, and then they will need to also make arrangements to locate a licensed agency in their state to do the home study and provide the post-placement visits and reports that are due. So that's an additional fee. If they are looking at adopting a special needs or a waiting child, the fee is $7,200 plus the home study and post-placement fee.
And so for those in Texas, is the cost different?
Yes, because we provide all of the additional services. There's an additional $3,300 tacked on for the training, the pre-placement work, the home study, and the post-placement visits.
I see. And so how can we find out more about Lutheran Social Services of the South and maybe get more information on this adoption process, how to begin that process?
The easiest way probably is to go to the agency's website, which is www.lsss.org, and there will be a tab for services, children's services, and international adoption is in that tab. And it will also, you know, if you request more information, an email will come directly to international adoption and to my email.
All right. So www.lsss, so L and three S's for Social Services of the South.org.
Correct. You're absolutely correct.
And that'll take you to, then you can find information on adoption on the website.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know we have a personal story coming up here in just a little bit with Lisa. Lisa Gens, can you tell us just a little bit about her story before we get into that?
Yes. Lisa saw a little boy on Rainbow Kids, which is a website that we've used to feature waiting children, and contacted us and was just absolutely enchanted with this child. So we sent her the pictures and de-identified information we had, asked her to follow up with an international physician to see if there were any huge red flags or what kind of questions she needed to consider with regard to this little boy. And she completed a home study in her state. We, you know, helped her process all the paperwork to get approval through U.S. Immigration, put together a dossier that was approved by the Ministry of Justice in Bulgaria, and she made her first visit with him and spent like 4 days. Her sister traveled with her. They spent like 4 days, 5 days with this little boy in Bulgaria last fall, and then she brought him home in January, and it's been love at first sight and love ever since.
Well, very good. I can't wait to meet Lisa and hear all about her son and her adoption story. Thank you so much for being our guest today. We've been talking with Connie Gregg, Director of Adoption Services at Lutheran Social Services of the South. Connie, thanks for being our guest today on His Time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
We give thanks to God for 45 years of His grace and blessings on the ministry of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. We invite you to join us as we continue to receive God's blessings every week through His Word and sacraments. Worship on Sunday is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri. Visit our website, goodshepherdarnold.org.
What does this mean? To many Lutherans in America, this one simple question brings to mind the days of confirmation classes, memorizing Luther's small catechism with the pastor. But did you know that the Holy Spirit continues to call thousands of people all around the world to faith in Him through this powerful little book translated into the languages of the people? Visit lhfmissions.org to learn how you can help the Lutheran Heritage Foundation deliver this book of the faith to new Christians worldwide.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
3, 38, 7. Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu vaccine. It is your best defense against the flu. Annual vaccination against flu is recommended for all people 6 months of age and older, unless they have a condition or medical reason not to get the vaccine. Stay in the game, get vaccinated, and help us tackle the flu.
To find a flu vaccine clinic near you, go to mo.gov and click on the flu vaccine locator. This message is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone this morning, Lisa Gintz. Lisa, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning and share your adoption story with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Lisa, tell us a little bit about your life and a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a 30-something, and I'm an attorney in Louisiana, and I'm the second of 5 kids, so I came from a very big family. And I spent a lot of time going through school, working hard, and doing the best I can to build a life and to, you know, help everyone in my day-to-day life.
And so what led you to thinking about international adoption?
As the adoption world is growing and is opening up, you see different avenues for bringing children into your home. And, you know, we grew up watching Feed the Children. We grew up watching, you know, more news about children in other countries, and it became more personal to us in America. And I saw stories and I saw other families that were adopting internationally, and it gave me a different line of vision in that my child might not be here. He might not have come naturally, but he's out there somewhere, and now I need to find him. And so that's what led me to international adoption, was just the thought of the final opening of my mind saying, maybe my son is out there.
So what was the first step then, the first concrete step that you took toward international adoption?
Making the decision was the first step. And that happened after years of thinking about it, having that little tug at your heart, watching videos on YouTube about it, watching, you know, reading books and thinking about it. And January of 2013, I said, you know what, I've wanted it. I've prayed for it. I've thought about it. It's time to do it. And so I registered for free on a website, and then the name of the website is rainbowkids.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a website for children all over the world that are looking for their mama and daddy. And these children are considered waiting children. And so that they're not going to be infants, and they're not going to be children that are maybe considered in perfect health, but they're perfect children. And those children are available, and they have information about their different health issues, minor, major, different, requirements for the countries. And so that was my step to start looking for my son.
So you started with the website. Then where did it go from there once you registered on that website?
I spent several weeks looking at rainbowkids.com, and mm-hmm. there's so many children on there, and I prayed a lot, and I wanted to be led to the right child. I wanted to know whenever I saw my son or daughter. And so I actually went back to the older pages and started looking from there. And on the night of February 14th, I scrolled down and I saw this sweet little face, and it had this long list of potential health issues, but all I saw was that sweet little face, and I didn't see any health issues. And I said, I've got to take a chance and see if I can bring this little baby home. And so that night, I sent an email on Rainbow Kids to whoever was who was the representative, who I didn't know at the time. And it showed that the adoption service that was sponsoring this child is Lutheran Social Services of the South. And lo and behold, the next morning, I got an email from Martin Konoff, who is the liaison who works with LSS and with Connie. He lives out in Philadelphia. And Martin said, Lisa, I'm so glad you want to know more about this little boy. We only have him for a few more days before he goes back into a central registry. And so by the end of the next day, I completed my paperwork, and I claimed that child is the child I'm going to fight for, and that's my baby. And so that started the process.
And so you started the official paperwork, started the process, and I gather that includes a home study and probably lots of hoops to jump through.
I don't think I've been fingerprinted more in my life, but everyone should know that I have no criminal record, and
sure.
Everybody knows it because you get to send all those lovely fingerprints off to all the different entities out there, because not only are you adopting a child in another country that doesn't necessarily speak a lot of English, but you're also making that child and preparing that child to become a U.S. citizen. So it's a dual process, and the two countries have to work together to get your son or daughter home. The home study process took a terrible long time, and when you're in the middle of it, it's almost like being in the middle of a sandstorm, and you just duck your head and you do everything you can to keep walking. And when you're through it, you turn around and realize that you've been protected and that you are being led through it, and everything worked out. And so that's what, God gave me that peace. And that was directly related to LSS, directly related to Connie and Martin, who walked me through the process, who were there for me emotionally, who were there for me, doing prayer while we were trying to get this little boy home. And so that process was long, and that'll be the longest process of any of your listeners. If they decide on international adoption, that process will be a while, because you have to go through the U.S. government, and you have to have a home study, and there's lots of paperwork, but it is completely worth it. And compared to the work you put in to what you get, it is the smallest price you could ever pay for what you get back.
Was there any travel involved in the process for you as well?
Yes, there were two great trips. The first trip was in September, so I found him in February. And in September, my sister and I traveled to Bulgaria, and we met Svet. Svet is the local liaison for Lutheran Social Services. He is an English-speaking, brilliant, wonderful man who has a heart for the children, as does Martin and as does Connie. And so we drove to a small town called Pleven, and in that town, we stayed at a hotel, and I got the opportunity every morning for 4 hours to meet and play with my son and just enjoy him and actually get to hug him and hold him and just look at his face. And it was an amazing, wonderful moment that I will never forget. And unfortunately, I had to leave because it requires two trips. And then I returned again in January. And when I returned this time, I returned to bring him home. And so we went again to Pleven, and I gladly plucked my little boy up, and we stayed in Sofia, which is the capital of Bulgaria, until all the paperwork was complete, and then we were able to fly home. Whenever we passed into U.S. airspace, he was laying on my lap, sucking his thumb, and I was rubbing his head, you know, on the airplane, and he had his little shirt on, his little Levi's that barely fit. I mean, they were so his legs were so skinny, but the Levi's just looked like baggy little pants on him. And he's there sleeping. And I just said, you know, you just became a citizen of the best country in the world. And he just slept right through it. And so we got off the plane, and I am the second of five kids, but I am the only one with a grandchild. So all five kids, all of our friends and family that have prayed and supported me through it, Mama and Papa, my aunt and uncles, everyone was there, and they were all wearing Superman T-shirts. And so whenever Calvin, who's my son, got off the airplane, he had on his little Superman T-shirt. And when we were walking off the plane in Baton Rouge, the baggage handler stopped us because he saw the Superman T-shirt, and he said, "Is this the little boy everybody has been waiting for?" And I said, "Yes." And I began to, you know, thank God and cry and just be, I was so excited. And so I got to walk off the plane, and as soon as we were there, you know, my family, our flight was delayed, but our family had been at the airport for hours. And so it was the entire airport. It's a smaller airport, but the entire airport surrounded us. And the workers were there, and the deputies were there, and so we got to come home, and he got to meet people who had been praying for him for years before I even knew who exactly my son was, and it was just wonderful. It was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful celebration, and I will tell you, we're all still just as happy 10 months later. Every little thing he does, we all celebrate it because he is such a blessing. He is such a wonderful little boy.
For those who might be considering adoption, whether it be international adoption or domestic adoption, and facing the challenges, or those who are in the midst of the process and facing that home study or all the paperwork or all the hurdles you go through for adoption, what's your what are your words for them?
Be brave. Be brave. I'm not normally someone who would just jump into something like this. I am someone who's thoughtful, who considers the obstacles and the obligations. I had never been a mom. I had never had, a lot of my close friends didn't have children. My siblings didn't have children. And I didn't know the process. So I didn't know if I was ill-equipped or well-equipped to be a mom. And so I was worried. I really wanted him to like me. I was nervous about that because he was four. And I was like, I hope he likes me. And I wanted to make sure I could handle all of his medical needs, which, you know, God intervened and have just diminished completely. And when I met him, there were all these what ifs. And now that he's home, I will tell every parent out there that all your worst-case scenarios are going to go away when you have love when you have nutrition, when you have support and family, and when you have hugs. That makes a complete difference. And so if you're facing this long process and you're thinking about it, it takes time to adopt. So if you're even thinking about it, God's plucking at your heartstrings. And if God's plucking at your heartstrings, go ahead and start the process. Because by the time he starts beating you, and saying, not beating you, but beating the drum and saying, it's time, you think, then the waiting starts. And then every day is agonizing because you know that your child is out there.
Well, Lisa, we are rejoicing for you and with you, and so glad that Calvin is getting settled in and 10 months now and in your home and part of your family. And thank you so much for being our guest today and sharing your adoption story with us here on His Time.
Thank you, Andy, and other parents out there, be brave. Do it.
Thanks so much. Stick around for more right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.